So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 30. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Yoda quotes. As always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hey guys, what's up?
And if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, send us an email through our website at resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Also, this week's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including the one we're going to talk about today.
Ooh, which one could it be?
I'm actually really excited about the book we're going to talk about. But anyway,
stupid excited.
So let's move on to the news. So there's been some Rebels news, obviously, this week. Two different clips dropped since our last episode and now. The first one was there's a great write-up on Hypeable.com about Ezra using the Force in Season 3 of Rebels. And I know, Danya, no spoilers from you. But what do you think of this clip? You know, Ezra is... So for those of you who haven't seen it, go ahead and check out the clip on Hypeable.com. But Ezra is essentially using the Force, a Jedi mind trick, to take over an AT-ST. And it's really creepy because, like, you see him, like, forcing the AT-ST driver to, like, do things he's not doesn't want to do, which, you know, instead of shooting the Rebels, shoot the Imperials. But basically, you see him controlling it, and you see, like, Ezra's hand, like, pull down on the trigger and everything. To me, it's really dark and creepy. What do you think, Tanya?
Okay, it is super dark. Really dark. He essentially, not only has he taken over the mind of of this person in order to take out the rest of the Imperials, he then has it walk off the edge of a freaking cliff.
Wait, that wasn't part of the clip, though, was it?
Is it not?
I don't think so. It cuts off before that.
Oh.
So now we know what happens. Thank you, Danya. But that's okay. Like, it's all right. Sorry, people that don't like spoilers. I don't like spoilers either. We'll just be mad at Danya in the background together.
Whoopsies.
But it's super dark. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's really insanely creepy. Like, it's pushing the boundaries of what you should use that for. I mean, I think the whole using the Force in that way is incredibly sketchy in the first place. Like, mind control in general, just, it's not something that I condone, even within the Jedi. I think it's very, very murky waters in terms of, like, what they should be doing with their powers. I don't think it's something that they should do. It's a gross violation of someone's mind and body that I don't like.
It really is. And it's like, you know, I never thought of the Jedi as creepy or, like, really doing, because, like, you see, like, Obi-Wan do it, you know, and A New Hope, and it's like, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. We can move along. Like, he convinces people, like, in such a nonchalant way. It's like, you know, the Force has power over the weak-minded. And it's just like, okay, you know, the Jedi can persuade people. You know, you see Luke attempt to do it to Jabba and stuff. And you're just kind of like, okay, you know, they use it for good. In this way, you see how it could be twisted. Like, man, it could get twisted really quick. And I can just imagine how, like, it's just like, it definitely shows a darker side, even though, like, you know it was there, but you just didn't want to admit to it to yourself, you know what I mean?
Yes. No, I always found, like, even the little persuasion with Obi-Wan, with the, like, move along, like, I still found that a little bit creepy, that you're able to make someone susceptible like that. It's, yes, in that instance, it's not as dangerous a violation, like, it's not a physical body violation like this one is. It's more a suggestion that what they're seeing is not what they're seeing, so it's almost an illusion of sorts, rather than, like, physically taking control of someone's body and making them do something against their will.
Yeah, I always found it like they're clouding their judgment, like making, you know, persuading them, like, and clouding their judgment, like almost like if they're making them instantly drunk, and you can kind of, you know, persuade someone a little bit easier because they are not, you know, completely coherent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, still in that way, it's still a violation of sorts, and it's still a little creepy, but in this instance, it's a little more
blatant. Oh, and the way it's used, it's just pretty bad. So,
yeah,
so I can't wait till season 3 of Rebel starts. It'll be coming up soon this month, and yeah, we'll have to see what happens. Now that we know a little bit more about that clip, thanks, Danya.
Whoops. I mean, it was kind of obvious what was going to happen.
No, it kind of didn't, as he was shooting it. It's all right, though.
Really?
Yeah, he, as soon as the ATST turns, there's like, you don't even see the edge of the cliff, really. You know, he's shooting at three guys. I actually just double-checked. But it's all right. But that even shows you how much further and darker it gets than what we actually saw.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next clip from Rebels. This next clip is awesome. It's actually featuring Kanan talking to a character who says he is balanced in the Force called the Bendu. And it's interesting because right now Kanan is actually carrying the Sith holocron that we know Ezra had at the end of season 2. So, Danya, what do you think about this? To me, it's just more like he, you know, it's interesting that Kanan seems so, I don't know how to put this, but like he's just naive, I guess, that he doesn't realize there's other Force users using the Force in different ways. And he is conflicted. And I don't think it's just the Sith holocron. But I think, you know, the Bendu tells him that there's a storm raging in him. It's not, you know, peace and serene like you would think a Jedi would be, but more, you know, he's worried about his, you know, his Padawan, Ezra. He doesn't want Ezra to fall to the dark side, and he sees it happening. But the more he's worried and struggles about them, he's having emotion, which leads, you know, fear, anger, hate leads you to the dark side. So it's definitely one of those things where I the clip sheds a lot of light on, you know, Kanan here. What do you think of this shot here? And I know you obviously
really love
the whole thing.
This is one of my favorite moments from the premiere, actually. I really liked Kanan's conversation with the Bendu, which, even beyond this clip, is a little bit extended again, so you get more of this. There's more of this conversation to come. But I won't say what they discuss or what happens, because yeah. Whoops. Hashtag spoilers. Yeah, I really like it, because also the Bendu kind of is a really interesting character in how they feel about the Force and the Jedi and the Sith. Like, it's just some of his comments about the Jedi and the Sith are really interesting in this clip, and it's something that's expanded on a little bit further as well, but I really, really loved this moment, because like you said, it does show Kanan as being a little bit naive, which, you know, considering he hadn't fully completed his training and he's basically been uprooted and has a very narrow view almost, and it's all about what he's been taught and what he's seen, which, you know, is a touchstone for characters like Ezra before he came into contact with, like, Maul and so on. It's just really interesting that he was a point of knowledge, but now it's becoming more apparent that he doesn't know as much as he should. And I don't know if that's entirely a failing of Kanan or a failing of the people who should have been teaching.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about who it could have been. But yeah, I definitely agree that this clip right here, I know, is something that I'm going to be really excited to see and explore further just in lore-wise. Yeah. So definitely I'm excited for this. Speaking of Star Wars Rebels, we actually have the titles of the first 6 episodes, which our friends at Jedi Bibliotech was able to uncover those. So before we announce those titles, because it doesn't really, looking at them, it doesn't really tell us much about the episode. We can make some guesses and stuff. But how many episodes did you see, Danya? Was it the first 2 episodes?
Yeah. So Steps Into the Shadow, parts 1 and 2, I think it was called.
Yeah, so episodes 1 and 2 is Steps into the Shadow, part 1 and 2. Episode 3 is called Holocrons of Fate. Supposedly, that's when we're going to be introduced to Wedge Antilles. And then episode 4 is the Antilles Extraction. So I'm assuming that's kind of like a extension here. So that's kind of cool. And episode 5 is going to be Hera's Heroes. And episode 6 is the last battle. I will say, Hera's Heroes reminds me a little bit of like Hogan's Heroes type thing as an old TV show in the US. So I'm kind of excited to see what that one actually entails. I don't think it's going to be just the ghost crew, but I think it'll be definitely something else related to Hera and her. Just her being part of the rebellion and who she is. And then the last battle to me sounds very ominous, and it's only 6 episodes into the season, so.
Yes. That one is very ominous. I'm not so certain that we'll see Wedge introduced in episode 3. I would imagine more that would be about Maul, because we saw some stuff in the trailer with the Holocron like kind of like merging, was it? Like, it was really, really odd, and then it was, like, exploding out. So I would imagine that the Holocron episode might have something to do with that.
Well, and that's what it says. So, like, right here from them, it says, we'll be seeing Wedge Antilles in the 3rd episode of Season 3. And then they go on to speculate that they think the Holocrons of Fate is about Darth Maul and Ezra meeting the Sith and Jedi, melding the Sith and Jedi Holocrons together, like we saw in Season 3 trailers.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
So, again, I don't know if we'll see Wedge or not, but you know, like I said, the source says we'll see Wedge in the 3rd episode. I don't know if they're taking Steps into the Shadows as part 1 and 2 as one episode, just a really long episode, and then the Antilles Extraction is actually it. Or if, like I said, we get introduced to Wedge on a completely different side of at the end of that 3rd episode, and then it picks up maybe where it left off. Because, you know, they like to do that. A couple episode story arcs that tie them all together.
Do that's true. For context, the premiere episode that was shown to us at Star Wars Celebration, there was like in the middle of it like a stop to kind of show that it was like one episode then another, but it pretty much all went one into the other in one big episode, and I believe that they are just going to be showing it all at the same time anyway.
They're releasing both of them the same day, so.
Yeah. So, I would imagine that even though it's two parts, most people will count it as one episode because it'll all air at the same time.
Alrighty. Well, moving on a little bit further, one of our favorite characters from Star Wars Rebels and the Clone Wars, Ahsoka Tano book is coming out soon, called Ahsoka, and it's going to be narrated by none other than Ashley Eckstein, who was the voice of Ahsoka in Clone Wars. I am, like, super excited. Like, I already pre-ordered the book for this, Tanya. Like, I pre-ordered it on my Kindle so I can have it when I'm traveling. But I'm like, I don't even want to read it. I want to just get the audiobook and listen to the whole thing. What do you think about this?
I'm really excited about it. My thing is, I don't really listen to audiobooks very much.
I love audiobooks.
I don't know why. I really like just having a physical book sometimes, or having the book on, like, my iPad so that I can read things. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't tend to listen to a lot of audiobooks, which is really weird, but this is definitely one that I would want to listen to just because Ashley is going to be narrating the audiobook. I mean, how can you pass that up?
I know, right? Like, it's pretty awesome. I will say this. So, obviously, the book is coming out. Was it October? I'll pull it up in a minute. October 11th. So the book's coming out October 11th. You can also get the audiobook there. You can get the audiobook from audible.com, which is where I'll probably get it. I listen to audiobooks. Like right now, I've attempted to read Life Debt a couple times, and I keep putting it down. So I actually just got the audiobook version of it. And I've made it further with the audiobook than I have with the actual book. I listen to it in the car when I drive to work, and I try to listen to it for a good 20 minutes before I go to bed every night, just so I'm continuing on through the book and the story. It does make some of these books that are a little bit harder to get through sometimes a little bit more enjoyable. This book, I think, would be completely enjoyable just because I like the author and obviously I like the character. But now that I know who's going to be doing the audiobook, you know, with Ashley doing it, now I'm just like, this is going to be like, it's going to be like listening to, and you know, it's going to be like listening to a radio show of it, you know, so I'm just really excited for that audiobook.
Same. I think it'll be really interesting to listen to. I will probably end up reading it first, like physically reading it first, if only because I read really quickly, so I will get through it a lot faster just actually reading it. So yeah, but when I'm doing like a second pass of the book, I will probably give the audiobook a shot.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, we had some Rogue One shakeup. Diane, you probably know a little bit more about this because I've been working like crazy this week.
Yeah, so this news dropped, it was overnight. I didn't see it until a little bit later today, but it, as it turns out, that due to some of the reshoots that needed to happen for Rogue One, it pushed, obviously, the production, which meant that the score for Rogue One was getting done later than initially expected. The knock-on effect of this is Alexandra Desplat no longer has the time to do the Rogue One score. So he has dropped out, unfortunately. And now Michael, is it Giacchino? Is how you'd say his name?
That's what I wanted you to say, because I have no clue. I butcher people's names all the time. But I would say, yeah, Giacchino is what I would guess.
Yeah, so he is now going to be doing the score for Rogue One. I mean, understandable, he has been quite a long-time collaborator of, like, J.J. Abrams, and he's done a lot of amazing scores as well. He's done, God, what did he do? He did, if you're a fan of Pixar, he did Up, Inside Out, The Incredibles, which, oh my God, the score to The Incredibles is incredible. But yeah, so we are getting a different composer for Rogue One. So
see, this makes me interested. This is really interesting to me because reshoots are part of every production schedule. And I would assume that they had taken that into account when they had Alexander. Now, I'm guessing, because it originally comes from a Hollywood Reporter who did it. They had Tony Gilroy, who was the writer, work as part of a filmmaker role during the reshoots and post-production to clarify some story and tonal issues, apparently, which is something they do all the time. But I'm almost wondering if they added additional scenes that weren't originally in the script that needed music that hadn't been scored at all or hadn't even been worked on, or if they completely changed pacing and timing of certain scenes that would need to be completely reworked. And when they came to looking at it, Alexander's like, I don't have time to create brand new music that I haven't created so far for this, because they, you know, composers don't start composing when production is done. They start composing and start creating themes based on what is told to them and stuff like that. They obviously don't have the whole thing written and, you know, scored, but they don't just like do it in a very short period of time.
Well, no, because it takes a very long time
to write music. So I'm almost wondering if he had scored a bunch of the film and then it's like, hey, I don't have time to make this new music. And so I'm wondering if they're replacing all of his music, or if, like, when you get the soundtrack, it could be a combination of both composers on it with different things composed by different ones.
I don't know, because they have two very different styles.
I know, which...
And I don't know how... And I don't know that I would want one to imitate the other.
Well, see, I don't know if they're even going to try to imitate each other, because they're all going to try to blend in with what John Williams has done in the past for Star Wars, at least for the fanfare. I can't imagine them not using the original Star Wars fanfare.
But they've got to still have their own stamp on the music. So the fact that he will be coming after two other composers before even getting to the score on his own if it's just slight adjustments. I mean,
yeah, I don't think it'd be slight adjustments. Like I said, it sounds like they, you know, when they have the writer go in and be part filmmaker, that tells me they added whole new scenes that didn't exist. Probably something that clarified story, something more emotional or something like that. You know, who knows? But yeah, it's definitely something where I'm a little surprised. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, it definitely wasn't something I was expecting.
This close to December, it really surprises me that this just came out.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Rogue One, but it definitely makes those reshoots seem like a little bit more than just standard reshoots to me.
Yeah. And I guess it also depends on how long this has been a thing that's been happening.
That's true.
We may just be hearing about it now, but this may have been something that's been in the works for months already. So
that's very true. Very true.
We know how secretive they are. They only let things slip when they want to. So we don't know. We don't know the timeline of this. We're only getting the news now. It doesn't mean that he hasn't been composing for the film for longer.
Yeah. So we have some additional news. I want to move on from that because we really just don't know, and I don't like to speculate on something we don't know too much about. But our next news article from Hypeable is almost all speculation. It's about a Star Wars live-action TV show. ABC's head, Ben Sherwood, offers up an update saying that the Star Wars plan rests in the hands of Alan Horn, Walt Disney Studios chairman, and Kathleen Kennedy from Lucasfilm. And the great folks at Lucasfilm. Somewhere we hope in a galaxy not too far away, there will be a television show that will air on one of our networks. And then he also goes on to warn people, I want to get your hopes up too high. They have a lot of movies to make between now and then and are deep into production relationship with Lucasfilm making Star Wars Rebels. And we have an ongoing conversation with them. So obviously, there is Star Wars television. We know there's not only going to be, you know, Rebels, and we know that they've started looking for the next animated show. What live-action show they'll have, you know, I would love to see it on ABC or, you know, that's where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm okay waiting.
Yeah, I mean, they've said that they've been having those talks, so they're actively having those talks. That's something that we've discussed before. So we know that they're happening. Just, it's a matter of timing.
When? It's a matter of when. It'll happen eventually, but it's a matter of when. So that, you know, we'll keep you guys updated on that as that, you know, evolves. Because obviously, who doesn't love a good TV show to binge watch on Netflix or something like that? And a Star Wars show would just be that awesome. I do want to move on to one of my favorite bits of news. So I've been working all this crazy week this week, and the release of iOS 10 for iPhone, iPad, and iOS users, Disney had released a Star Wars sticker pack for messages. Now, Tanya, I know you use an iPhone. I know I do.
Yes.
And you know, here's the thing. These stickers are very similar to the ones that you could get in the Star Wars app that are actual pictures and stuff you can copy and paste that you could send in any app. But these are animated stickers, and they're part of just the normal text messaging app. And so they're animated. In fact, they look very much like the Force Awakens as told through emojis, if you will. If you remember that animation we talked about a couple episodes ago. And the cool part is you can literally put stickers in. If you guys don't know how iMessage works, or if you don't have an iPhone, you can probably ignore this section. But you can actually take the sticker and put it on to responses for different messages. I will tell you, I've been taking the Poe Dameron helmet and putting it on everyone else's pictures as they post them. Like, that just goes everywhere for me. Have you had a chance to look at these, Donnie, on your phone? Or at least in the app I linked?
Confession time. I never download software when it's in its initial release. I always wait for a 0.1 update.
It was released as a 0.1 update, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Then I will probably not download it as the 0.1. I'll wait for 0.2 because there's always bugs. Always. Yeah. No matter what software. So I would prefer them to get all the information from that first, before doing that, especially because I don't have the newest iPhone. I've got an iPhone 6, so not the 6S or the 7. And obviously, a lot of the software is optimized for those phones, usually.
Yeah.
So, I tend to like to wait until...
I can get that. I understand.
So, I will use it eventually, and I have been looking at the posts of, like, people who have been sharing, like, the different sticker packs and stuff. Probably won't use a lot of them, because some of them are, like, paid, and I'm not buying stickers.
The Star Wars picker... sticker pack is paid, I will say.
Oh,
that.
Oh no.
It's 99 or 199 to be exact. Yep. But it was worth it for me. So I will tell you this. So here's a little story about my use of a Star Wars sticker pack so far. I was having a conversation with my friend John, and he responded, his girlfriend actually responded for him because he was going to physical therapy, and she added R2-D2 playing music as part of the conversation. Like, is there anything else you need from him? I'm like, nope, that's it. I just wanted to know what the plan was for later today. And then I threw in a picture of Lando Calrissian on my text message with him winking. So if you go to the website, you can see the Lando Calrissian here. Now, my friend John knew who Lando Calrissian was. Like, come on, you guys listen to me. Like, you have to know who Lando is. Hello there. But his girlfriend didn't know, and she started to flip out thinking that I had made emoji that looked like me. Or I had found an app that had emojis that looked like me. So this Lando Calrissian winking, she flipped out. It was like, John, look at Mikey made, you know, emojis for him. Because, you know, that would be something I would do. So now I'm going to say, anyone who uses the Lando emoji, you're actually putting me winking in your text message conversation. So that's all right, guys. It's good. I like it. But yeah, that was a little story that I found out today or yesterday. I don't know. My days are blurred together. But yes, it was pretty fun. I love the stickers. My wife is not quite as much of a fan of them. She's just been getting all these stickers in her conversations with me. And I'm like, well, too bad. I like them.
Okay, Leslie, if you listen to this, I'm kind of with you. I don't mind stickers.
But the stickers are so cool!
Right. The stickers are cute. I'm not sure I would spend $1.99 or whatever the equivalent amount in pounds would be. The stickers when I could use gifts for free.
Yeah, but the stickers you can like put on top of other things.
Yeah, I've seen conversations, screenshots on Twitter for like how people have like not understood how it works, and basically their whole screen is made up of stickers and them going, oh god.
There is nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Stickers are amazing. I even mentioned I love stickers as a kid, just to have the, remember I said I'll get the sticker book just so I can have the Star Wars sticker book, even though I won't use them anywhere. All right, we'll move on. So the next bit of news, man, this has been a big week. The last bit of news, actually, is on Friday, the 16th, Star Wars Battlefront released a brand new trailer. It was teased in the Star Wars show this week for their latest expansion coming out September 20th, the Death Star expansion. And, oh my god, did you see this trailer, Tanya? It is, like, the coolest looking trailer. It's really cool. It's only about a minute and a half long. Anyway, we've talked about what it's going to be, how it's going to be like phases and everything, and so that's kind of cool. But this expansion, it starts off heavy inside, you know, the Death Star, and you see the Rebels and the Imperials fighting each other on the Death Star. And then all of a sudden, it cuts to an X-Wing coming through kind of like a debris field. It's like, Luke Skywalker here. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Luke and his X-Wing! And I just like start, you know, you guys don't see me, but right now my hands are like flailing over my head going, oh my god, I'm so excited! But yeah, it just looks really cool. And obviously, the graphics in the game just look great. A great way to be immerse yourself into the, you know, the Star Wars stories and everything. So I'm super excited about the Storm the Death Star expansion that will be coming September 20th.
And I will definitely check out the trailer at some point. Mikey has been stuck in work. I unfortunately did not sleep. So
yeah.
I've
worked over 100 hours this week, so.
Yeah. Whereas like the last 24 hours or so, like last night I got like 2 hours of sleep, so haven't really been keeping an eye on stuff today the way that I usually would, because I'm just too exhausted.
I get it. I'm gonna go to, after we finish recording, I'm gonna go back to bed. I came home and I napped this morning. You know, it was weird because I went to look at my, you know, my time card, and it said I worked 29 hours today. I'm like, wait, there's not 29 hours in the day. Oh, that's because it included yesterday and today. That's how many hours I worked straight. So that was a fun time.
Yeah, anyway. I did contemplate a little earlier today when some of the people who work on the same floor as me in the office, they were all in a meeting for, like, it was an hour and a half long meeting. I did briefly contemplate whether or not I could get away with napping under my desk.
I had a lunch break around 2 a.m., I think, this morning. And we was like, we were going to take a full hour, like everyone I was working with. And I'm like, oh, you know, a friend of mine was going to sleep. She actually fell asleep on these racks that we have at the job at where I work. And I literally just was like looking at my phone. And then I woke up like 20 minutes later, realized I was looking at the same Reddit post going, oh, time has passed. All right, I guess I got to get back to work. So I just passed out in my chair for 20 minutes at 2 a.m. this morning. So that was all good. Anyway, let's move on to our spotlight topic. So this week is going to be interesting. As we were going to choosing our spotlight topic this week, we're going to do Yoda. Who doesn't love that little green guy? But then I started looking at all his great quotes and everything so we can have this conversation. And I realized we have to do Yoda next week also, because there is just so much about Jedi Master Yoda. So this week we're going to focus on 10 quotes. These 10 quotes come from StarWars.com because, as you, we all know, Yoda was one of our winners, working up his way through the way through one of the years at the, what do you call it, This Is Madness tournament. So this is an old article from StarWars.com back from 2013 that has the 10 best quotes of Yoda. And I want to kind of just discuss each one of these quotes, kind of where they come from, and kind of how it defines Yoda's character. So what do you think about that, Danya?
What, discussing his quotes? Well, he is infinitely quotable, so...
Isn't he? Like,
I'm
honestly,
okay with you, that.
All right, so good. So that's what we're going to talk about this week, and next week we'll dive into his character. And if you guys have any opinions on Yoda or anything related to the quotes that we talk about today, let us know on Twitter or Facebook, any of those things, and maybe we can work into our conversation next week. So, on to our spotlight topic, Yoda quotes. So, first quote comes, "When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not," from Return of the Jedi. So this quote is actually pretty... I like this quote a lot. So Yoda, you know, when you first meet Yoda, forget the prequels for a minute. When you first meet Yoda, Yoda's pretty stern and strict, but he's also very playful. Like, think about, like, I just think of like him playing and poking at Luke and everything on Yoda and Dagobah. But when Luke returns to complete his training and Return of the Jedi, he finds that that Yoda's health has kind of deteriorated over time. And this line shows that even though Yoda is essentially on his deathbed dying, he still has a sense of humor, and he has the ability to still teach his student that it's all right, that this is part of life and going on. For me, when 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not. I've actually used this quote multiple times when someone makes a joke about me getting old. I'm only 30 years old, but seriously, like, I don't look... I'm not that old.
I've used it as well. With my brother, usually. I'll usually... When he's like, "God, you're getting old now." And I'm like, they're going, "When 28 years old you reach, look as good, you will not."
Exactly. So, I love it. It's going to be, you know... you know, it's a kind of a fun... For me, it's just a fun kind of throwback to just saying, like, hey, I look pretty good for my age. But it's a fun quote. I know my mom has used it also, because I pick on her. She's getting up there in age. I won't say how old you are, Mom. You're forever 39, right? Anyway, moving on to my next quote that we have here. "Truly wonderful the mind of a child is," from Attack of the Clones. So this is actually interesting. So in the time of in the film Attack of the Clones, Obi-Wan is trying to locate the planet Kamino, which has been erased from all records of the Jedi Archive. When he approaches Yoda about this in the middle of a lightsaber class with younglings for help, Yoda turns to the students and one of them nails it, saying that it's missing because someone erased it. You know, and then obviously the response then is, truly wonderful the mind is, mind of a child is. Because it's, here's the thing is, when you have, when you look at things that from one perspective, it might be really complex, you can't figure it out, but when you look at it from another perspective or a simple view of it, it becomes so simple and easy to understand. Like, think of this, like, you know, Obi-Wan was asking, you know, he asked, you know, the different people in the, you know, in the Jedi archives, what could happen? Could it exist? You know, we had, the diner, you know, he asked, you know, he's like, there's a difference between, wisdom and knowledge, you know, he's learning. And really it comes down to that a child's one's like, hey, then someone had to delete it if it should be there. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I love this because I really think that children especially have a view of the world that is very straightforward. Like, they will say what they think without influence from anyone else. And the fact that they're able to get to a point so quickly and so easily is remarkable, because they will say whatever they want. They will be brutally honest with you no matter what. And it's remarkable. So, yeah, it's, this quote is pretty spot on, all things told. Friend of mine, Jen, you know her as well, Mikey, from PopCon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has a little girl, Evelyn. Evelyn just speaks her mind like crazy.
And I love it. It's kids just so kids have no great. Filter. They really
yeah,
don't.
Zero filter. And it's great.
I think what I really like about this quote is really it's not one of those things where even that, you know, he's, you know, regarding a pat, you know, a youngling here, but it also shows that Yoda didn't just kind of answer it himself or even look to the answer to try to figure it out, but he actually takes the opinions of everyone, no matter their size or age. And that a teacher still learns from their students. You know, it's one of those things that he's willing to understand that maybe I don't know everything, but really someone who has a different perspective. I think this actually even goes back to Obi-Wan's quote that we quote all the time, from a certain point of view. Like, this is really, from a certain point of view, it really is wonderful, the mind of a child. And I think this goes even further, just like, as if you're a parent, I'm not a parent myself, but if you are a parent, like, just the imagination and the wonder that you can instill in kids, and I think just Star Wars in general can instill in kids, it's just amazing. So I love this quote because it really is, I think, a great quote from Yoda and really shows a great depth of his character. You agree?
Yeah, definitely agree. And I mean, you're not wrong either. We can learn so much from our children. Not necessarily our children. I am also not a mother. But
or our children together. You know, I got it. I
yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not. No, Mikey. We're okay. Not having children. Leslie would probably kill both of us.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next quote. That is why you fail. So a little bit darker. But this was from Yoda being literally brutally honest to Luke, who breathlessly says, I don't believe it. When Luke tries to raise... when Luke tried to raise his X-Wing from the swamp in Dagobah, and Master Yoda was able to do it no problem. You know, it's a very definitive statement that comes from Yoda's years and years of teaching. And just in general, it's like, hey, it's your, you don't believe that you can do it. Because that's what happened. Luke didn't believe that he can use the Force to lift up his X-Wing and do it. He started to move it. Like, you know, the music is, you know, swelling up and everything. It's like, oh, Luke's raising the X-Wing. And then it drops back down and R2 goes, aww. And it's really because he didn't believe it. And then Yoda steps up, you know. I can imagine, like, you know, a younger version of Yoda just kind of being all bravado almost. And like, step aside, I got this. And literally just move, like, he does it. And it's a huge moment in Empire Strikes Back. And him telling Luke that, you know, Luke is just completely, you know, amazed. Like, I don't believe it. And because Luke didn't believe it, Yoda's response was, that is why you fail. I think this is such a good quote, like, inspirational and everything, even though it's about someone failing. What do you think?
Yeah, agreed. If you do not have faith in something that you need to do and you do not believe in yourself, then you almost set yourself up for failure. You don't have to be arrogant about it. You don't have to think that what you can do is, like, I guess that... It's not necessarily, like, you have to believe in yourself all the time and you can succeed at everything as long as you believe in it. But you have to have faith in your own ability and believe that you can achieve something to be able to do it, especially with something like the Force. If you don't believe that the Force can do as you will it, then you're setting yourself up to fail. So, yeah, I like this a lot, and it's a really nice turning point for Luke as well. So, because I think Luke struggles a lot with
self-doubt.
His self-esteem and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely. I think there's an element to how quickly Luke has to change throughout the Star Wars series, directly parallel to the responsibility that has literally been thrust on him. He goes so quickly from wanting to just be a pilot and go to the academy to losing what is his entire family, finding out that he has these abilities, training, losing the one person that he had that connection through, finding out about who his father is. Like, it's just incredible the amount that he goes through in such a short amount of time. So I feel like that self-doubt comes hand in hand with that. So it's almost like a, not a slap in the face, but a nudge in the right direction. So I like it as a quote. I do. Yoda has so many good ones,
though. He does, which is why, like I said, as I started to put this together, I was like, oh my gosh, we can't do one episode on Yoda. We gotta do two. Next quote is, "A Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack." Again, Empire Strikes Back. This is interesting. This quote really, like, obviously I've watched Star Wars a millions of times, but as I kind of started to look at Yoda quotes and kind of write some of these down, this one right here stood out to me because this is kind of a standard kind of teaching that from most martial arts and anything where you're, you know, that's why they call them self-defense. You know, you're never going to use it to go to look for that fight. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, and this sets up the stage of what the Jedi are, you know, because this is the core to the Jedi kind of idealism, if you will. And you see this really in the end of Return of the Jedi, when, you know, obviously they have lightsabers and they fight, but in Return of the Jedi, Luke throws away his lightsaber instead of making a killing blow on Vader. And that's really what Yoda meant at that moment. Luke becomes a true Jedi Knight when he uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack. He doesn't give in to his anger. And it's really just, you know, it's just a great thing to live by. You know, there's no reason to go look for, well, we'll go into the next quote in a minute, but what do you think about this one, Danya?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who did do martial arts when they were younger, I agree that it is a staple of your teachings, is that what you learn within your dojo is where it stays unless you need to use it to protect yourself. So this one resonated quite a lot for me because around the time when I was watching Star Wars, the age that I was at, I was already training in judo about 4 or 5 times a week. So I resonated with this quite strongly because it was what my own sensei was teaching me. So it's a very, very strong, influential quote for me because, I mean, when I was doing judo, having that connection back to Star Wars made everything infinitely cooler. I'm like, I'm learning the stuff that the Jedi also did and believed in. So in my head, I was also kind of a judo kick-ass Jedi. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, here's the thing,
right?
Is the parallels are like exactly there for me too. So something I don't know a lot of people know is I did Hapkido, not judo, for many, many years. My dad's actually a 6th degree black belt in Hapkido. And the person I learned from originally and who my dad learned from before he passed away was Grandmaster Kim. And literally, my dad, when I was a young kid, is like, you know, Master Kim is like Yoda. You know, he's, you know, one, just in stature, you know, Master Kim was a very small Korean older man. He used a cane to walk around, but you never messed with him because you knew he knew so much knowledge and everything. He would never use it for attack, but as teaching and everything, you know, he could do pretty much all of it. So it was definitely one of those things where this definitely resonated with me too growing up. So I agree. But moving on to the next one, I think this goes back to back with that. Adventure, excitement. A Jedi craves not these things. Again, from Empire Strikes Back. So after Luke came to Dagobah, Yoda initially withheld his true identity. He's trying to get a sense of who Luke is as a person. Yoda understands there's a lot of risk in training Luke to be a Jedi, especially considering Yoda knows what happened to his father. And in the end, Yoda's not impressed. Luke itself is impatient, selfish, and like I said, what he said is adventure, excitement, a Jedi craves not these things. You know, he makes clear to that Luke must understand the significance and meaning of the journey he wants to make. You know, he's making a decision. He's taking, you know, he's taking a step in one direction, and he has to be very careful. So I like these things. It's kind of like, hey, if you're doing something just for your own personal, you know, gains, it's something that you're probably not going to be as fulfilled with it. So I like this one. Diana, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree on one count, that doing something for your own personal gain, or and that being the only reason that you're pursuing something, that's definitely not something that's in keeping with the Jedi Code. And I agree with that, that if you do something solely to just get yourself ahead, you get very little fulfillment out of it. It's almost an empty goal. Do I think that it, like, self-betterment should be a part of why you're doing something? Yes, absolutely. So I also think that adventure and excitement can come from different things as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be adventure in the sense of risk-taking and using those skills in order to do reckless, dangerous things. Adventure and excitement could come in the form of, for example, Luke eventually seeking out the First Jedi Council and the knowledge that comes with that. You know, that's still an adventure in its own sense and excitement, because it's learning more about the basis for the Jedi and everything that they did. So I think in certain respects I can agree, but not entirely, because there's nuance to it that I feel like if you castrate your emotions to a point, then you kind of run the risk of like just being numb. I think that true balance in the Force should allow yourself to still feel emotion about certain things, but not to extremes where you allow it to influence yourself. But I don't think you should cut yourself off from it completely. I think that's stupidity.
So, from a certain point of view, you agree with this?
Well, to an extent. Allowing it to entirely control you and drive you, yes, but do I think that that a Jedi should cut themselves off from it entirely and not crave it at all? No.
No, and I don't think he says you can't crave these things, but like that should not be the reasoning behind it. And that's what he tells Luke at that time. You know, I agree. And it's definitely, you know, obviously there's different perspectives. And like you said, searching for more knowledge, that's not necessarily, he's not craving excitement or adventure with that. He's seeking knowledge. So he's got a different, I guess, a different motivator, if you will. So I guess a lot of things can be taken one way based on intent, if you will. And I think, you know, without going into like, you know, you see lawyers talk about this all the time, but with what is the intent of what an action was? You know, you can do something and have the best intentions, and guess what? It's not, because people aren't going to think bad of you because something bad happened because of your good intentions. But on the flip side, if you did something with the intent of causing harm or something like that, people can be like, that's dark, that's bad. Like, why would you do it, you know? So I agree with this. You know, adventure, excitement, a Jedi craves not these things. Because a Jedi should be should be above those things. He should be willing to do adventure and willing to have what we would consider excitement, but not for craving it, but more just because that's what they have to do or where they're doing it for other reasons, you know, that have, they have better intentions for it, if that makes sense. I don't know. That's what my take on it was.
I guess.
Okay, that's all right. We can have different point of views. It's all right. Anyway.
We don't always have to agree.
No, not at all. So, one of my favorite quotes.
This is my favorite quote.
I know. Ever. I know. This is one of my favorite quotes. Do you want to read it then, Donna, since it's your favorite quote?
Yes.
Ever? Go ahead.
This is my favorite quote ever. I use it all the damn time. Judge me by my size, do you?
Yes.
Because for anyone who has not met me in person or hasn't come across me at all, I am 5 foot. That's it. I'm 5 foot dead. Like, I am tiny. So, yeah, this is one of my favorite quotes, just because I can reappropriate it for my own amusement. I wish I was as kick-ass as Yoda, though.
Oh, I think we're awesome, Danya. But yeah, no, like, I love this quote because it really is, you know, like, you know, you have to understand that when Yoda uses this in Empire Strikes Back, Luke still doesn't know who he is. And he even uses another great line to Luke to talk about this. You must unlearn what you have learned. And I use that, actually. You must unlearn what you've learned. That's not one of the quotes we were going to talk about, but that's actually a quote I use fairly often because I teach fairly often. To the point where you can't come in thinking you know everything, and you can't assume by looks, not just, you know, judging by my size, but, you know, when you take a look at Yoda, you can't just make an assumption of what he knows, what he can't do. You know, when Luke complains that his X-Wing is too big for him to be able to lift out, Yoda does, you know, takes the X-Wing out, and he's like, do you judge me by my size? No. You know, you can't, whatever task in front of you, it can't be, you know, you can't take it, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but really it's one of those things where you can't make a mountain out of a molehill, or you can accomplish more than you think, just because you can't assume anything based on what, you know, what it is. I don't know. I'm probably going to edit this out.
You can't judge someone by their appearances.
Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover. You know, there's another quote for it. And that's really what it comes down to. It's like, judge me by my size, do you? And it's like, Yoda is just so powerful. We see it in, you know, him fight, and we see all these things in the prequels, but even then, like in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, you instantly have a sense of how powerful Yoda is, how wise he is, and it's like, don't, you know, obviously, we're meant to have some thinking back to like watching Empire Strikes Back for the first time, which I don't even know when I saw it for the first time, because I saw it so many times when I was a little kid, but thinking back, you're meant to think that Yoda is not this amazing, trainer, Jedi master, but you know, some, you know, native being who's rummaging around for food. And, you know, you can't take into consideration what your first impression was or what he looked like until you start to talk to him and really discover who he is. So I absolutely love this one.
Yeah, me too. Because here's the thing. I have faced a lot of people who, like, look at me and assume a certain thing about me, like either when I was still doing judo, that my size meant that I wasn't as accomplished as some of the other fighters. They underestimated me. And this quote is so powerful in its simplicity, just to cut to the point of being like, you can never tell who a person is, what they've been through, and what they are capable of just by what is on the surface. By the color of their skin, their size, their anything, their sexuality, their gender, no matter what, you cannot judge someone by that basic look. You know, it's just, you can't judge someone by that. So it's just a really powerful quote to, I guess, subvert expectations and remind people that we are more than just what's on the surface. We're what we are inside as well.
All right, moving up. This is number 4 before we get to number 1. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. So this quote instantly became memorable for many people because it was featured in a trailer for The Phantom Menace, and it resonates to the core of Anakin Skywalker's downfall. Like, it literally, fear is something that we all deal with at different times. Whether it be fear or failure, just we're young and we're scared of something, scared of the dark, whatever. And once we try to overcome that fear, if we don't actually embrace it to actually overcome it, that fear can lead to anger. Anger then leads to hate, and then hate leads to suffering in the sense that you definitely are going in a darker path doing something you probably wouldn't do at your core. And this rings true to, obviously, Anakin's whole story, you know, his story arc and everything. But I would agree to this. You know, fear is the path to the dark side. You know, don't let fear control your life. So I use this probably not as often as I use some of the other quotes we've talked about, but I use this myself in just day-to-day conversation sometimes when someone's trying something new or I'm trying something new and I remember that, hey, it's all right to be scared, but don't use that to block me from doing what I want to do. What do you think, Danya?
Yeah, I mean, fear is a natural response to the unfamiliar or the uncertain. And we all go through it, and it's natural. We will all feel it at one point or another in our lives. But when we allow it to govern our entire lives and dictate what we can and can't do, that's when it leads to, I guess, situations that mean that we are completely out of control of them. It can, yeah, I guess in the respect of Anakin, lead to his downfall because it just escalates and spirals into stronger feelings that are far more full of conflict and inflicting pain and suffering on others, but also means internal suffering as well because you're allowing it to control you. So, yeah, I will agree with this one. I think that fear is a very natural response to things. I just also feel like when you allow that to rule over you, that's when it can get out of control. And I guess, yeah, lead to other emotions that are not so great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we'll move there. All right, so this next one I want to set up. You know, in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is in Dagobah, he tells Yoda, not knowing it's Yoda, I'm looking for a great warrior. And Yoda responds with, wars not make one great. And it's really interesting that, you know, this quote comes so early on in Yoda and Luke's relationship. It filters into all of Yoda's lessons. Aggression and violence do not make a Jedi or a person strong. And this quote gets even more strength when it comes from Yoda, when you realize that Yoda knows the realities of war and battle, especially in the prequel era and the Clone Wars show. You know, Yoda obviously is a great warrior in the sense of what Luke was asking for, but Yoda realizes that doesn't matter what I've done in battle or war, you know, that's not what makes one great. You know, it's the compassion that someone can have. It's turning the other cheek, and that's what, you know, can make someone great. And I absolutely love it. Like, you know, being the biggest, baddest bully on the yard does not mean you're great. That just means you're exactly that, a bully. So there's definitely other things that would make someone great. And I like looking at that otherwise. What do you think?
I mean, a lot of people don't go to war to fight. They don't go to war to be aggressive or incite violence in other situations. They do it to protect people and because it is a necessity. They do it because they feel it is their duty to do so. They do not get pleasure out of going. In fact, it takes a great mental and physical toll on them. So this, especially with how in the forefront the armed forces are in respect to both America and Britain, and I guess the lack of, like, mental health for them and stuff like that as well, you see a lot of the time the impact that war can have on people, not only within, like, Star Wars, but outside of that as well. So this quote resonates both in and outside of the universe. So I really do like this one. And it's actually the fact that this came at that time and we're seeing these cycles of violence over and over again. It just, it's a really interesting commentary outside of Star Wars as well for how we should be looking at those people that are doing their duty, I guess, to serve and protect us. But yeah, I'd agree that wars don't make someone great. That greatness is already within them. And them not bragging about the things that they do when in time of war, that's because it isn't anything to brag about. That's, I guess that's where the greatness comes from, is doing your duty. Not because you want to, but because you have to.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. So, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. So, obviously, you know, I almost feel like we're quoting all of Empire Strikes Back here, because there's just such good time spent between Yoda and Luke here. This is a really interesting quote, thinking about it further, and, you know, obviously looking at some of the things that were on the StarWars.com post about it. Dave Filoni talked to StarWars.com about this and said, it's such a big difference between the Sith and the Jedi, being completely selfless versus recognizing the Force binds all life and creation together. You know, fear of death is really, in wanting to hold on to, is what is the difference between a Sith and a Jedi. And really, that's what it is. It's like, it doesn't matter, you know, what your physical appearance is or kind of what we are, but just being able to be beyond, you know, being open-minded and intellectual, be ready to be enlightened stuff, is that's something I take from this. Is, I think just being open-minded is really what it is. It's not what we are, but, you know, what we actually take with what we have and stuff. So I like the luminous beings part is probably the most here, just because it really is one of those things where it's like, hey, have you opened your mind to other possibilities, to other ways of life, to other things? And it really, you know, resonates with me as someone like Yoda, you know, having that quote. What do you think, Danya?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yoda, for the most part, is like very, very selfless in what he does. So it's very much in keeping with his beliefs and what we know of him, and it does run parallel to what the Sith are willing to do and the lengths that they go to as well. So yeah, no, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Last one for Yoda quotes this week. Do or do not. There is no try. Was there any other option for like the top quote? Like, seriously?
No.
Do or do not. There is no try. I use this all the time. I think even when I was a little kid, I used the quote. Do you know that poster, the Yoda poster that has like all his quotes surrounding him? No.
No.
So I have like 3 copies of this poster because I had it when I was growing up, but like I'm sure like family members, like I remember my aunt got it for me 1 year also, and I already had it, but I never told her I had it already, because I, you know, it's one of those posters like when you see it, you're like, oh wow, this is a cool poster. Not only does it have a picture of Yoda on it, but surrounded Yoda in all, and just, you know, I think it's like gray text. It's just all these quotes that Yoda has. Like this quote in particular stood, you know, stands out obviously. But this quote right here, do or do not, there's no try. I remember as a kid, I'd even say things like, you know, you can't try to pick up a pencil. Either you pick up the pencil or you don't pick up the pencil. And this is true to so many things. Either you do what you want to do or you don't. There's no, it really isn't a try. You know, if you attempt to do it, that's great, but your attempt has to lead to your success that you want to do, because you can make it succeed. So I love do or do not. There is no try. Donna, do you have any nuggets of wisdom from Yoda?
No. But I like this one as well. I did have this written within a couple of my notebooks at school, especially in my math notebooks. I wasn't ever particularly gifted at it. I wasn't very, very good. I had to work very, very hard to pass exams in maths. And so that was something that I wrote inside all of my exercise books for my maths class. So it kind of just, whenever I felt frustrated or down or like I couldn't succeed, I would turn back to the start of the book and it would be written inside, and it would basically galvanize me to like keep going, because I either did it or I didn't do it. Like, I either succeeded or I didn't succeed, but that was all on me. And so it would always just make me keep going, I guess. So this one has a very, very close place to my heart, especially when it comes to my, when it came to, like, growing up and at school, especially in subjects I wasn't particularly good at. I used it as inspiration to keep me going.
Yeah, no, this is just, like, the best Yoda quote ever. Just because it really is. So, like I said, it's, you keep going with it. It's do or do not. There is no try. It's just amazing. So, I love the Yoda quote. Obviously, tell us your favorite Yoda quote if we didn't talk to it. But again, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast, or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradio. Let us know what your favorite Yoda quote is. Next week, we're going to be talking about Yoda as a character and how he related to the rest of the characters in the Star Wars saga. As always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Donya.
Get a free audiobook, guys, at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio.
And we will speak to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.